with God's Word before us. Let us ask for the breath from heaven. On the day of Pentecost, when God's people gathered for prayer before the power of God came, the Bible tells us there was a sound from heaven. Oh, what stirring thoughts there are there in those words. There was a sound from heaven. God answered from above. May there be a sound from heaven this day. It's not a sermon we need. It's a word from God. Our loving Heavenly Father, we pray for the stillness of Thy presence in this house. We pray for the breath of God this day, for a sense of awe and solemnity. We pray that every child of God, every father and mother will know, and every young person will know that we have come into the house of the Lord Himself, into the presence of the great King, before whom the angels cover their faces and their whole beings, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." May we have a sense of the holiness of the Lord. And may we remember that Thy Word says, "Holiness becometh Thine house, O Lord, even Thy sanctuary." And we ask Thee today, before the presence of the Lord to fill the place, use Thy Word. Give to us all the hearing ear and the understanding heart. Let the Word of God come home to our hearts with extraordinary power. Oh, yea, with divine power. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, these past several Lord's days, we have been reflecting on the subject of discipleship, taking the 23rd verse as the basic verse to the teaching off the whole chapter. And He said to them all, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." This chapter is about discipleship. In other words, it's about following Jesus. You'll pick up the words there at the close of the 23rd verse, "Let him take up his cross daily and follow Me." So, this verse in itself refers to following Jesus. And a little later on, in the chapter 2, verse 49, for example, the subject comes back in the words of John when he stopped somebody else working there, because, he says, "He followeth not with us." Again, verse 57, "It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow Thee." And again you'll see it in the chapter, but we will pick it up in verse 62. "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." So the subject through the chapter is following Christ. We have been singling out the various aspects of discipleship as we have gone on. You may recall that as we started at the beginning there in verse 1 and 2, if you refer to the verses, we spoke then of the disciples' call. No man can follow the Lord, if we think of full-time service, except he has the call of God. If he's called of God, of course, he needs God's power. It's not enough to have the call. Many people think as long as they have the call, that's all they need. Some even think they don't need training. They can just go right ahead and serve the Lord without any discipleship whatsoever. But if you have the call of God, understand clearly, you need God's power. You need God's power upon you. You cannot go in your own strength. And so verse 1 reads, "He not only called His 12 disciples, but He gave them power." Look at your Bible, child of God. Remember, this is not a sermon we're preaching. This is not a sermon. This is the Word of God. I want every person in this house to have the Word of God. I want you, especially if you tell me you're a Christian, I want you to have your Bible open. That's the way it ought to be. This is God's house. It's the Lord's day. We have God's Word here. We're here in business. And if you love the Lord, and if you're going to say to me, yes, I'm saved, I've been born again, I want you to show it. I want you to have your Bible. I want you to look at your Bible. I want you to see what God says. The Lord called these men. He gave them power. Then He sent them out, verse 2 says. You can't just do what you like. You can't just go where you like. And some people today think that they have that option. As long as you're called of God and have God's power upon you, you can go where you like and do what you like. No, you can't. He sent them. He told them where to go. And if you're going to be a disciple, listen this carefully. If you're going to be a disciple, you're under orders. Do you understand that? We have a lackadaisical kind of Christianity today where I suppose most people think their only obligation to God is to make a decision. Most people who go by the name of Christians think that their only obligation to God is to make a decision to come to Jesus. Oh, you've got it wrong, let me tell you. You've got it badly wrong. You're under obligation to obey the Lord. Do you hear that? You're under the rule of Christ. You must recognize Him as Lord. That's not the message of today. Nevertheless, it's the message of God's Word. You're under orders. You cannot do what you like. Do you understand that? He sent them. Even though they were called, they had God's power, He sent them. They were under orders. And you are under orders. You can't do what you like. If what you like is different to what the Lord wants, there's something mightily wrong with your heart. Maybe you've never been saved. If what you like is different to what the Lord wants in your life, there's something mightily wrong in your life. The sooner you find it out, the better. No, but if you really love the Lord and you're saved, you'll want to please the Lord. You'll want to do His will. And when the Lord called them, He equipped them. And when the Lord equipped them, He sent them. And they did what the Lord wanted them to do. And the sooner you get to that place where you obey the Lord and do what the Lord wants, never mind anybody else, the sooner you do what the Lord wants, the better. Oh, the happier you'll be, let me tell you. The happier you'll be. And the more the peace of God will fill your heart once you get into line with the will of God. Now we went on from there and got to verse 11. And we saw how, or verse 10 rather, to start the section. We moved on to verse 10 and we saw how after the Lord called them and gave them His power and sent them out, He took them to a strange place in the course of His labors with them. He took them to the wilderness. Many a time we have notions in our heads that if we have the Lord smile upon us, everything is going to go swimmingly. Always we will have blue skies. Never a cloud, never a valley, never a hardship, and never a cross. What a mistake that is. The Lord took them to the wilderness, and there when He had them in the wilderness, it wasn't very long until the disciples found themselves with nothing and a whole multitude to feed. And they said, how can we do it? We cannot possibly meet the need of all this multitude. And so the Lord led the disciple into the wilderness, into the place of testing, into the place of nothingness. Where he had to learn, unless the Lord meets my need, I'm undone. And the Lord will have to test you, believer. He may bring you into the place of nothingness. That can be nothingness as regards material things. You could be comfortably off today and a beggar tomorrow. You depend every hour on the Lord's mercy. Do you realize that? Sometimes the Lord leads us into the wilderness just so we will have nothing. Do you know that? Sometimes the Lord brings us into the wilderness so we will have nothing. We have to prove to ourselves, I think, and to the devil that we will serve the Lord even if we have nothing. Are you only a Christian because the Lord's meeting your need every day? Are you only a Christian because you're comfortably off and everything is going well? Are you a fair-weather follower? The Lord took them to the wilderness and to nothing. But there He met their every need. Then, thirdly, we went with the Lord to the mountaintop. And there our Lord Jesus Christ was alone with His disciples. Verse 18 through to 36. Verse 18 mentions Jesus alone. Verse 36 mentions Jesus alone. That's not coincidence. It's essential for the believer to get along with the Lord. And then we came down the hill. The very next day we were facing the devil as we followed the disciples. And we found some of the disciples in defeat, and they couldn't cast out the devil. And the people of God were brought down again to nothingness until the Lord delivered them. It was a battle with the devil. Now we've come quite a bit, haven't we? We've come quite a bit. I would suppose some Christian will say, haven't we now covered all the aspects of discipleship in the life of a Christian? His call, his power, how the Lord has got to send him, how the Lord will test him, how he must get alone with Jesus, how he must climb the mountaintop with the Lord, how he will face the devil too, and be in the battle for the Lord and against the devil. Doesn't that cover all the aspects? No, there are problems. And we may as well be beginning a new section here in verse 45. And I'm saying that because there are seven classes of followers mentioned now. Not every person has the same battle to fight. Not every person has the same kind of problem. Here are seven problems in discipleship. Seven different cases of discipleship. Those who set out to follow the Lord, and every one has a different problem. I'm just saying that to show that we haven't ironed out all the problems at all. We haven't covered all the aspects of discipleship. There are those who are called to be disciples, and they don't act like it. We'll see that in a moment. I think we could take verse 45 and 46 to show us that. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Surely that's a problem. There is a major problem for a disciple, for one who's following Christ. There's a major problem. And I know it's shared by quite a number in this house today. What is the problem? Not taking to heart the word of the Lord. Not taking to heart the word of God. That's why I said just a while ago, maybe it sounded a wee bit abrupt to you, but all was necessary. That's why I said just a little while ago, we're here before God. This is God's house. I'm not here to bring a sermon. I'm here to deliver the word of Almighty God. Every believer needs to sit back and listen to that word. Every believer needs to take that word to heart. It's not the preacher's word, remember that. It's not the preacher's sermon. This is God's word. Every Christian has to know that. And the reason I put that emphasis on today, and I think I ought to put that emphasis on every Lord's Day for that matter, but the reason I put that emphasis on today is because the first problem that comes up, the Lord's speaking. The Lord's speaking. And those who are His disciples can't lift it. They cannot appropriate it. It doesn't get through to the heart. The word sounds in their ears, but it doesn't get through to the heart. It doesn't change the life. Our burden is today that the word of God will get through in this meeting. That the word of God will get home to the heart. That there will be a change. There will be changes following this meeting. The word of God must be understood. The devil doesn't want you to understand God's word. But if you look at verse 45 there, you find the first line saying, but they understood not. Now there are four words in that verse I want you to mark. And let's see how they all point to the one problem, namely that of imperception, the inability on the part of the disciples to take to heart the word of God. The word of God didn't get through to them. Listen, you'll be in trouble this week. If the word of God doesn't get through to your soul, if the word of God is not going to reach your heart and change your life, you'll be in trouble this week. Believe me. But they understood not. Now, if you're marking your verse there, verse 45, I would suggest you underline, first of all, the words, understood not. So the Lord was speaking, but they didn't understand it. You see that? The Lord was speaking. It's possible then for you to come to the house of God on the Lord's day It's possible that the Lord would be working, that the Lord Himself would be speaking, yet you will not pick it up. They understood not. The second part I want you to mark in the verse, the word hid. It was hid from them. That's sad. That's sad. And the third part I want you to underline in the verse, perceived it not. They perceived it not. You see, for the third time round, the Lord is saying they didn't grasp it. They didn't understand that they didn't see the seriousness of it. Oh, child of God, this is my lamentation. This is my burden today, that it might be possible for us to gather in the house of God. And we're not really taking to heart what the Lord's saying. Oh, somewhere today, somewhere in this congregation, the Word of God isn't getting through. Somewhere in this congregation, I haven't a doubt about it, there's somebody here who says, yes, I'm saved. The Word of God is not getting through to you. I don't know why. There may be sin in your life. Sin you're not prepared to face up to. Sin you're not prepared to own up to. Sin you're not prepared to confess or judge. I don't know. Maybe there's worldliness in your life. Maybe your heart is so full of the world, the Word of God is not getting through. But the fact remains, you're sitting here today before the Lord, and the Word of God's not getting through to your life. They understood not this saying. It was hid from them. Let's just take those words we have asked you to mark very quickly. They understood not. Well, we can put that down to natural difficulty. Has it been your complaint that you have been reading the Bible and getting nothing out of the reading? I wonder if I were to test this meeting just now. If I were to test this meeting and ask every Christian to raise his or her hand who has been getting something from the Word of God this week, if I were to test this meeting now and ask for that showing of hands, could you raise your hand? Could you in all honesty raise your hand and say, yes, I've got a word from God this week in my Bible? Or if I turned the question round the other way and said, how many Christians here will raise their hand and have to say, should it be shamefacedly, but honestly, before God this week, I have been reading my Bible. I haven't been getting a thing out of my Bible. I wonder in what category you would be found. Would your face get red? Would you suffer some kind of embarrassment if shakily, hesitatingly, you would have to raise your hand and say, I haven't got anything from God this week? Your soul is starved. I'll tell you that. Your soul is starved. The first problem in this chapter of discipleship, as we come to it, is the problem of not getting anything from the Word of the Lord. And here's the Lord speaking, and yet these believers are not understanding, not able to understand what He says. They understood not this saying. There can be a natural difficulty. Well, I would recommend that you look at your Bible reading. I would recommend, first of all, that you read the Bible and shall I say, avoid using these Bible helps like Daily Bread and other such little booklets that are good enough in themselves. We don't find fault with the material as far as we know. But you must read the Bible itself. Read a book at a time. Start with the Gospels. And don't leave the Gospels until you've gone right through. If you start with Matthew, get in at chapter 1. Don't finish your time with Matthew's Gospel until you've gone right through to chapter 28. Read the Word of God consistently. And read the chapters consecutively. And there should be some kind of system in your reading of the Word of God. Are you spending time with the Scriptures? Do you understand what you're reading? Are you asking the Lord to show you? Are you getting anything out of the Bible? Look at the next thing. And it was hid from them. There was not only a natural difficulty. And oftentimes we need to read and read and read again. Many a time I have to say before I preach on a theme at all, I nearly know the Scripture passage so well I could say it off by heart. You would need to read through that chapter you want to study some 10 times, maybe 20 times. And then you can talk about understanding it. Then you might be ready to study it. Don't expect to be able to study the chapter the first time off as you go to the reading of it. And it will help to know what goes before and what comes after, and you have to read the Bible through, especially that particular book, many, many times before you begin to get the grasp of it. It was hid from them. The Lord had to withhold something. I don't believe the Lord tells us everything. Many a man of God has had to say, Lord, why did you hide this from me? Now, do you remember an incident like that in the Scriptures? Lord, you've hidden this from me. Is the Lord holding back His truth from you? Are there some things the Lord wants to be saying to you? And because of your waywardness, your unwillingness, the Lord can't say them. Is it true for you, as you go to the chapter every day, the Lord's hiding things from you? Is it true, believer? Is it true, as you go to your Bible every day, that the Lord's hiding things from you? Now, there are quite a number of wives in this congregation. I know without looking into your face, you'd be very much perturbed if I could tell you your husband's hiding something from you. Wouldn't you? You wouldn't like to think it true. You would say to yourself, my, what's wrong? What has happened that he's hiding this from me? Do you know I have to look into your face and tell you, if you're in this category we're looking at, the Lord may be hiding something from you. Why? Why? What have you done? Of course, I could just turn the question around on the husband and say, you wouldn't like your wife to have to hide something from you. Would you? Doesn't it strike you today in your walk with God that there's something wrong? Something wrong? If you're reading your Bible every day and going to God on your knees and the Lord is hiding something from you, something wrong there. And I may say frankly, if you're not willing to go through with God, if you're not willing to obey the Lord will hide from you what He's doing. The Lord will not convey to you any message of lasting worth or power when you're not fully yielded, you're not surrendered to Him, the Lord will hold back His word. Can it be that the Lord cannot speak to you as yet? Turn to the Gospel of John. And in the 13th chapter, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to His disciples. Verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And the Lord had to hide for the present what He was doing. But verse 17 says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So when we know the word of the Lord, how happy it is to walk with the sunshine of a smile and to know His power upon us and His grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ had to say to the disciples, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Does the Lord Jesus Christ have to say similar things to you? What I do thou knowest not now. In chapter 16 and verse 25, there are similar words. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly. And he does say, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That's the verse I was looking for. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Does the Lord have to hold back? Because we're not in the right place with the Lord. Because we cannot go through with Him. Come back to our text. Luke chapter 9, verse 45. The third word we ask you to underline, they perceived it not. You see that they were blind still, although the Lord was saying it. And I may refer you to verse 44 there to get the full significance of this when they didn't perceive it. Look at verse 44 by way of contrast. What do you read there? Why, our Lord Jesus is saying to the disciples, let these things sink down into your ears. Let these things sink down into your ears. Now listen, believer. Listen carefully. Link these verses together. 44 and 45. Link these verses together. Anytime the Lord speaks, we ought to heed it. Anytime the Lord speaks, we ought to listen. Isn't that right? We ought to pay heed to all the Lord says. But if there ever is a time when the Lord Jesus is saying, now hear this especially. If there ever is a time when the Lord Jesus is saying, let this word sink down into your ear. That's something you should listen to. That's something you should understand. And our Lord Jesus is saying here, let this saying sink down into your ear. You listen to this, but they perceived it not. How sad if we miss the word of the Lord. In the book of Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 18 and 19, there are some remarkable words, and perhaps this is a primary portion with respect to the believer's ability to assimilate what the Lord is saying. Isaiah 42, verse 18, hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Now the Lord is speaking to those who profess to be His people. He's speaking to Israel. Israel today is deaf to God and blind to His Word. We know that. The unconverted person, however religious, is deaf to God and blind to His Word. But I have thought today, oftentimes, we who are Christians are deaf and blind too. Oh, we have missed the voice of God. How many times we have gathered in the house of prayer, we have missed the voice of God. How many times we have handled our Bibles, we have missed the word that God has spoken. And now God says, verse 18, I hope you have your Bible opened at the passage, Isaiah 42, 18, hear ye deaf, if you're not taking heed to the word. If the word isn't sinking in, hear it. And look, ye blind. If you can't see the message there on the page, look at it. Even if you have to say, I'm blind, Lord. I'm blind. I can't pick up the words. I can't pick up the meaning. I can't get the truth. I can't get the message here. God says, look at it. If you're blind, look at it. Now, that's a clue. That's a clue, believer. Even if you say, I'm blind, the Lord says, well, look at it. Keep looking. Keep watching. And the Lord will melt away the scales. Keep looking. Look at it. You who are blind, look at it. Keep looking at it. The Lord will give you eyesight. The Lord who made the blind to see, praise His name. He'll make you see. Look at it. That's what it says. Look at it. Well, if you're blind today, believer, look at it. Now that's God's command. And if you're going to sit here in this service and say, I've been reading the Bible, I'm getting nothing out of it, if you're not going to heed God's word today, you'll have a hard time in the judgment. Look at it, God said. Look at it. Well, that's what you have to do. Look at it, that you may see. But verse 19 is the verse I want to emphasize. And aren't these striking words? Aren't they? Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? That's hard in the preacher. The preacher has to start with himself there. Many a time, the preacher is blind. You know, the worst thing, the worst affliction in any congregation is a blind man in the pulpit. I'm not talking about his physical disability now. I'm talking about a blind man spiritually. The worst affliction any congregation will have. A blind man in the pulpit. Or somebody who's deaf in the pulpit. Deaf to God and blind. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Do you see the Lord singling out His own people? Who else is as blind as a Christian? Who else is as deaf as a believer? You see that? That's a strong message. That's a strong message. There's strong preaching there. And the Lord seems to be saying in verse 19, who is as blind as he that is perfect? And when you think you're doing well, you may never be more blind. And at that moment, how deceitful the heart is. Are you blind, Christian friend? I think every Christian has to get in this problem and say, yes, I'm not sure of the will of God. Are there not some young people here today who have never surrendered themselves to the Lord? Maybe you have to say, I'm blind and I'm deaf. Who is as blind as my servant, God says? Who's as blind as my messenger and as deaf as my messenger that I have sent? Are we handling God's word every day and not picking up what the Lord says? Are we deaf to His voice, believer? Are we deaf to His voice? Are we blind to His word? Is that our problem? And the last line of verse 45 in the Gospel of Luke says, they fear to ask Him. Now, that's maybe worst of all the faults. Many a time we've had to say, Lord, we don't understand this word. We may have to say sometimes, Lord, the message here seems to be hidden from us. Sometimes we have to say, Lord, we don't perceive it, even though You're saying, let this sink down into Your ear. And we still don't get it. As the fourth part of this problem ours, they fear to ask Him. Do you know, there's a clue. There's a clue to better Bible study. There's a clue to your spiritual growth and grace. You could ask Him. James 1 and 5, for example, you needn't turn up the reference, but James 1 and 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask. And you must ask. The prayer of the psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 18. And let me give you the words this time. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. We must pray. We must ask the Lord to open these blind eyes of ours. How do you read your Bible? You rush into your Bible reading and rush through it and close your Bible. And if I asked you 5 minutes after you closed your Bible what you'd been reading, could you tell me? What are you getting out of your Bible? Are you spending time with the Word of God, Christian? You must spend time with the Word of God. I think when the Lord's speaking here of the cross, as He does in verse 44, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. Surely He was warning the disciples of a devilish onslaught yet to come. And He was saying, let these words sink down into your ears. The fight's only starting. Is the Lord warning you concerning something today? Has He given me this word for you? That His word might sink down into your ear. Well, 5 minutes after the service has ended, will you have forgotten what the preacher has been saying? I remember being asked one night to address a brethren meeting. It's not often they would have a minister invited to a brethren meeting, but they asked me to address a brethren meeting, and I was free, and so I did. It was a gospel service, but I saw a good many of these modernistic ecumenical Bibles in the house, and so I knew that I had another message to deliver as well. And I gave that word before I got started on the gospel. Among other things that happened at the end, there were quite a lot of people with interest at the end of the meeting, I can assure you. But among the things that happened at the end, one person said, we have a young people's fellowship tomorrow night, and there's a special subject on. Have you heard? Well, I hadn't heard what the subject was going to be. And so they advised me, the subject at the fellowship tomorrow night is going to be the preacher last night. And what did you think of him? I said, that's very good. That's most encouraging. For anywhere you have people preaching the Word, most of the people present forget what he has been preaching 5 minutes after he's finished. But you're telling me that these people are going to remember even tomorrow night what I've been preaching on tonight. That's an encouragement. Oh, the Word of God must sink down into your ear. The Word must get through. If you're going to forget 5 minutes after you're home today what I was preaching on this morning, let me tell you, I have failed. You should remember through today what the subject was today as we gathered at the feet of the Lord. And you should be remembering it still next Lord's Day. Let it sink down, Jesus says. Let it sink down. It's the Word of the Lord, and it ought to be there. And of course, he was speaking of the cross. And shouldn't the message of the cross sink in the believer's heart? Yes, it should. The first problem, then, it's virtually a new series we're starting at the end of this chapter. The problems of discipleship. What is this problem today? It's a very big one, a very real one, of not getting into grips with the Word of God. Not receiving the Word, not taking the Word to heart. Isn't this a striking message? Right in the substance of this chapter, how the Lord was speaking, and he was actually saying, let it sink in. They didn't understand it. It was hid from them. They perceived it not. They actually feared to ask him. Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, show me? I recommend this to you, believer, before we close in prayer. I recommend this to you. You'll take your Bible out today and start at the regular place of reading. You're going to stay with that book right through. Start in the New Testament, first of all, especially if you're a young Christian. And you're going to say, Lord, speak to my soul today. Never mind your brains. Never mind your ability to study. You may reckon you're one of the best students of Scripture anywhere around. Or you may be at the opposite end of the scale in your own opinion. You may even feel, Lord, I can't get to grapple with this. Doesn't matter. Just you say, opening your Bible, Lord, this is your precious word to my soul. Break the bread of life to me today. Give me to feed in the heavenly manna. Let me enjoy the Lord. Bless my soul with the reading of this holy word, even today. You ask him. Don't fear to ask him. For he'll tell you. If you go to the Lord and ask him, that's the secret. He'll show you from his word. That's an end to the problem. When you ask him, when the Lord answers that prayer, and when the Lord shows you, oh, what a thrill. Coming up to the house of God on the Lord's Day morning, the Lord having already shown you something and blessed your soul from His holy word. And you're able to say to a Christian, let me show you what the Lord has given me today. How wonderful. May the preacher share in the blessing to you.